for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon, and this is PCSN Live here on the Powell County Sports Network, and not a lot of sports to bring you. We are shut down, I guess, at the moment for, again, we would have been in, week two. This would have been week two, I guess, of football in the playoffs. And week one of high school basketball. So we would have had, I guess, one girls game, maybe one boys game so far that were scheduled.
Girls game would have been yesterday. Would have been the first one.
So that's where we are. We are in a pause until at least January the 4th for high school basketball. Again, we'll have Darryl Billings on here at about after the first break. And, again, we'll talk to him more about what's going on with the policy board and the decisions they'll make. They have another meeting, I guess, in December to kind of talk about, maybe crowd limits, but I think it's going to be more of a local decision. Also talk about spring sports, cheerleading, and, again, some other things they have to kind of clear up on what they're going to be able to do. I think first day of practice for folks is December 14th, came out of that meeting for basketball. So, again, a lot of things are being left to the local decision makers, health department, school systems, to be able to make those final calls. But as you have seen or heard, unless you've been living under a rock, the Powell County numbers in COVID have been on the big time increase in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate where we find ourselves. When you go back and look on Monday, let me find my information here. On Monday, there were two new cases. Well, excuse me. Yesterday. Yesterday, there were two new cases. Today, we have 15 new cases, according to the Powell County Health Department. So, 15 new cases today. That brings the total case count to 479 active cases. This just blows me away, to be honest with you. 197 active cases today. 282 have recovered. And I realize, like, in some ways, you know, 197, that doesn't seem a lot compared to other counties. You know, Fayette County, you know, they're in the thousands, you know, it seems almost every day. But when you look at that number, almost 200 people that actively have, you know, tested positive for COVID-19, that's incredible. Again, it seems like to me, it's hard to believe that, you know, March, that we were back sitting in April, you know, one case, two cases, well, three cases. And now here we are, you know, 7 months later, and it's just exploding.
When was our first case? Was it? Was it up in almost to June before we got our first case in Powell County?
It probably would have been closer to June.
May or June, yeah, in that area?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, we've been really here in Powell County really fortunate early. Didn't see a lot of cases. We kind of knew those. We'd eventually see numbers come in. But here of recent, again, we've got hit hard at the nursing home. Also, I think the Powell County Jail has taken a hit. So those two places, again, usually when it gets into those places, you have bigger numbers. But then the community spread occurs after, which is, I think, where we are or where we are going. So here in the county, in my opinion, kind of, if you watch just the trends in other places, when they have outbreaks in their jail or in the nursing homes, people work there and they go home. And it's no fault of theirs, but some people wind up maybe having it and spreading it to others. If they have a social life, spread it to more people. So, again, those folks, you know, work at the jail or the detention centers or at the nursing homes, hospitals, doctor's offices, wherever those places are, again, where you see a lot of cases or when you see cases like that, you know, people are at risk. And you have to applaud those people who work in those areas because they are at high risk. It's, you know, we thought about it for a while, you know, maybe teachers and students will be at risk because of each other. But again, in those facilities, you have to wear a mask, Same thing with the school system. I think the school system's numbers stayed down as long as everybody is following the protocols until somebody has an outbreak. I think Powell County was very fortunate not to have outbreaks in school. I think they had some issues with staff or with students, and people got quarantined. And really, that's the reason we were canceled before the shutdown, was because of staff quarantines and really lack of staffing, ability to be able to run your school. And now we're shut down until at least, I guess, at the high school and middle school till the 4th. And the elementary school until the 7th, unless they're red counties.
I would be surprised if we came back at the elementary school level in December. I would be surprised.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, the way I would look at that. December 7th was the date for that. You're only talking 2 weeks of instruction before you break for Christmas.
Why take a chance?
Yes. And, right. I mean, I'm not being devil's advocate. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you folks out there are the same way. Now, if you're parents and you say, well, I'd like to maybe not have my kids around so I can go do some other things during the day, I get that. But I do think the school is going to open up a tutoring program, I would think. The kids that need help, they will be opening up for limited spaces. Students to come in with their teachers on certain days of the week and be able to kind of work and catch up. And we've seen a lot of students fall behind remote. And there are multiple reasons for that. It's not just one reason. There are multiple reasons that we're seeing for the kids that fall behind. And, you know, you feel for the parents. But then again, you don't want to jeopardize your staff. And I think that was an important part of this. You know, when you hear the governor speak, he does mention to protect the staff members and the students. And again, I think if you can do remote learning and you can do it well, that's a very good avenue. Here locally, it would be really nice if everybody had high-powered internet. If they did, then there'd be a lot of other things we could do here differently in the county. But we don't. And so we kind of struggle. You know, if you're in certain counties that don't have those problems, remote learning looks a whole lot different. And, again, the way we are here with limited, I guess, exposure to the internet or high-quality internet, that's a problem for Powell County.
Yeah, and I think on one hand, too, I think just the struggle of, you know, kids usually are on the computers when they get home for an escape. Now they're playing their games. Well, now all of a sudden you're using it more as an educational tool, and therefore the last thing I'm going to do is sit in front of the computer and then have to work, right? Yeah. You know, and I think at that point it becomes a struggle in order to keep up. Like I said, maybe it's the internet is lagging behind. Maybe I can't access in Google Classroom, you know, some of the documents or whatever it might be. I think even teachers struggle with this. Obviously, it's more work, whether people want to recognize it or not. And when kids are in that situation, it's hard to keep up. And therefore, if you have a parent, the way you and I were taught is not the way that they're being taught today. So therefore, as a parent, I'm ineffective to be able to help the kids because let's use math as the example. If I don't know how they, you know, I can show you how to add fractions, but yet the way that they do it now is not the way that I was taught. So therefore, it's not helpful. So it's up to the parents and the students when you need that help to ask for that help, but it still makes the struggle real.
Even if we were good students in arithmetic in our day, it's done differently. And the way we would tell them, we may get the right answer, but it's not the way they want to get it
now. It's not the process.
So, again, I learned this from Miss Diane Davis, and probably one of the best teachers I've ever known. But I learned it from her. You know, I talk about algebra. You have to learn the process to get the advanced stages of the what you're learning. Yes, you can skip steps in the early basic portions of, like, algebra. But if you skip those steps early, you can't get to the higher level of those classes later. So you have to follow the process to be able to get to a goal. Again, our goal here now is a sad goal. Our goal is to stop
the increase or elevation.
Yeah, the increase that I was trying to think of the word that it'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, the rapid increase here that we're seeing Not all it takes is, it's just a real simple solution. You go out in public, you wear your mask, you distance yourself, you do the small things. And again, even after this vaccine's out, you were telling me this earlier, even the vaccine comes out, people start getting vaccinated, still got to wear a mask. So this is going to be with us for a while. And I think the sooner people buy into that, the better off we get, and the numbers come down, then you may not have to be staying at home with your household family at Thanksgiving and the holidays. But for that being said, that'll be our COVID update for today. So we will take a break here and try to get in touch with our guest, Darrell Billings, here after the break on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During Ram Power Days going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force with 0% financing available and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins diesel, they are all on sale and priced to move. If you're talking about a new truck and you haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And as always, Appalachian Wireless has the most unbelievable sale. Appalachian Wireless has made shopping for the holidays safe and more accommodating to meet the needs of our customers. The one-day sale of years past is now a rest-of-the-year sale. Simply visit one of our 27 retail locations and get what you need through the end of the year. Or reserve online to make an appointment for the phone you want, and we'll call you when it's ready. Happy holidays. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We're being joined now by the president of the KHSA Policy Board and owner of Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep and Ram, right off exit 22 here in Stanton, Kentucky, Mr. Darrell Billings. How you doing, Darrell?
Hey, good evening, David. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. I'm doing just fine. First of all, let me go ahead and get a plug in here. Got any good deals going on at the dealership?
Well, it's a great time to. It's probably the best time I've seen to buy a car in a long time. It's pretty amazing with all the cheap financing, all the rebates that are out there, and all the things that just make it a all the things conducive to buying a car, it's as good as it can get right now.
So if Dave wants to go trade for a different truck, it'd be a good time to do that, maybe?
It would not be a bad time.
If people don't know this, but Darrell has talked me out of deals before, so if they're not in your advantage, he will also do that for you, too. So trust me, he is a He is a car salesman, but he's not. He's also a friend, so he will shift you the right way, and whatever your needs are, he will help you out there. Let you get a plug in. You are one of our best sponsors, and we do appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
No problem. Now, let's get back to the other hat. You're president of the KCSA Policy Board. Last week, the Policy Board met and decided to delay the start of basketball season and start the delay of actual practice, I would assume, is what I guess is part of the limitations that you guys did. Just kind of fill us in on what all took place with that.
Well, David, with the increasing number of COVID cases that were being shown up around the state, we delayed football 3 weeks in the fall, and there was a lot of discussion about potentially maybe delaying basketball 3 weeks in the fall, but with basketball, that would have put us right on the 14th or 15th, about the time most schools took Christmas break.
Yeah.
So we thought we would be better served if we pushed it on up to January the 4th, give another 2 weeks for schools and for students and even families around Kentucky to possibly have a little time to possibly maybe curb the spread of what seems to be taking place across Kentucky.
Yeah, they'll give them, about 10 days, I guess. You talk about Christmas until the start of the season. So, and they're coming out now. I think the CDC's new recommendation is going to be from 10 days now. I think it's going to be one of the quarantine numbers. But if you're tested on maybe day 7 or something, that you can go on out. But they're changing some of their thoughts. So 10 days should be a good number from what we're seeing coming forward as far as, you know, when people, I'm sure they'll, some people have a regular Christmas ceremony. Some people will probably do the one household thing like we're doing now. But maybe by the 4th, hopefully the numbers will be down.
Well, we thought with practice starting back on the 14th, so that would give coaches, and we talked to a lot of coaches across the state, and most coaches told us that they thought 3 weeks was ample time for them to get prepared. And with that being said, we thought, well, that would be perfect for us to be able to 3 weeks, so that would be about going from December the 14th through the 4th of January. That would give most coaches about 3 weeks to prepare their young men and women when we did start the season up on January 4th.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been fair to anyone if you started practice January 2nd and start the season the 4th. That would not be fair to the players, coaches, or even the fans, for that matter. Go ahead.
No, it's not been a. I don't think there's a magic bullet. I don't think there's a magic answer. I think we're touch and go, even all the way up to the start of practice on the 14th. You know, let's hope that we can see some decline in numbers, and hopefully that will happen. And if we do, then we'll be able to continue and go on and at least attempt to have some type of a basketball season this year in Kentucky.
Well, I think we'll have some type of a season. Of course, one of my thoughts has always been, you know, we did this with soccer a couple of times in the volleyball district tournament, was no fans. Is there a thought through the KCSA restricting, or do you think you're just going to leave that up to the district level?
No, we will follow CDC guidelines. State CDC guidelines are stating that 15% of your total gym capacity is all that they're going to is all they're going to allow to attend your game. So hypothetically, if you had a gym that seat 1,000 people, you're going to be allowed 150 people in the gym during that particular contest.
Right.
If you seat 2,300, you shoot 3,000. Now that's not the best of answers, and that's not going to make everyone happy. But it is something that we can kind of hang our hat on and at least attempt to have some guidelines going forward. And hopefully that'll all change. Hopefully we'll see some decline and we'll be able to maybe get with CDC and some of the folks that say, hey, it's okay if you have, you know, 20% or 25%. You know, the one beautiful thing about Kentucky and Kentucky high school athletics is the fact that our school administrators and school districts across the state have done a wonderful job of taking care of our kids. I'm one of those guys that believe that our kids are much better off in school than they are sitting at home or sitting on the corner or hanging out at a buddy's house. I just think we do such a good job in our school districts. You know, our superintendents have done just wonderful jobs. Our administration have done great jobs taking care of our kids during what is the worst pandemic of my lifetime.
Yeah, I guess the only thing, like when we shut down there right before the shutdown, was staffing issues. We had staff that didn't know, these weren't contractions at the school system level, but they were, people had to quarantine. It just kind of really just kind of whacked the staff, and there were just not enough people to get the job done as far as the faculty at the schools.
And you know, David, that's going to continue to be a problem. I mean, I know this sounds pretty crude when I say this. You know, we kind of got to get busy living or get busy dying. And you know, I think we're going to have to find a way to survive with this pandemic. I don't think it's going to go away with just one magic bullet. I think it's going to be time, and I think we've just got to find ways to live around it and be as prepared and be as careful as we can in situations that still allow our kids to live a normal life. I mean, I've got two grandkids, and I've watched them just completely blossom since they went back to school. I mean, just complete different, you know, attitudes, opinions about things. And they're 4 and 5. I mean, they're not 12 and 13, so I can imagine what it's like when you get a little older and those kids have things they want to do. So, but again, kudos to our school system. We're going to continue to try to press forward from the High School Athletic Association. And I know there's a lot of questions regarding what we're going to do. We're having issues with playoffs now. But we're continuing to plow forward, and we're going to try to do it in the best and safest way we can to continue to provide 84,000 student-athletes opportunities to play.
So let me ask you this, kind of going back from the beginning when you all started having to make these tough decisions, how difficult has it been for you all as a group to come up with these recommendations? Obviously, you know, you have these meetings. They're obviously different than what meetings you all had prior to this. So as far as the thought process going into making these recommendations, you know, going forward, that you're going to limit practices or delay this, as far as collectively the group, how much dissension kind of among yourselves making these decisions, or is everybody mostly on the same page?
Well, for the most part, we've been on the same page. I don't think we've ever had an 18-0 vote that said we want to do this or we want to do that. We've had some disagreements, of course. You know, some of those disagreements have come from larger districts in larger communities that have a much larger caseload of corona, and I can respect those decisions. But at the same time, I have to respect the Robertson counties of the world, the Bracken counties of the world, that less than one case a day puts them in a red zone. So, you know, we've had some dissension. I'd be misleading anyone if I didn't think we didn't have a little dissension. But, and it's not really dissension as much as it is just disagreement from where we're located within the state. So there's been a lot of ideals exchanged back and forth. We've got a lot of great friends in the Jefferson County area that really want to take care of their kids, just as we do the folks in the Pike County area that want to take care of their kids, or in the Graves County area that want to take care of their kids.
Well, I'll say this, you know, watching some of y'all's meetings, and you can see some of that. I'm not going to call it fighting, but it's just like anything else. If you don't have discussion, you're not going to have any solutions. So there has to be some discussions. There has to be some disagreement. You get 18 people together, you'll never find 18 same opinions. So I think those discussions are probably healthy at worst.
I don't think you can move a train forward without some type of inertia that gives some type of friction back. I think the ideals that we exchanged, even though they may have been in some cases very opinionated and very animated, me being one of those, I was very animated about wanting to move forward, that we had to find a way to make it go. I was one of those guys that believed in that. But now I come from a part of the world that granted, we have COVID cases, but we don't have the rampant COVID cases that you're seeing in Jefferson County, that you're seeing in northern Kentucky. So I was a little more animated towards trying to do things the way that affected us in our part of the world. So those conversations, even though they were heated and sometimes, I don't want to say heated, I think animated is the right word. They were animated. They were solid. They were solid conversations that we all took and didn't take personal. And I think that's the beauty. Most of the folks that serve on our High School Athletic Association are
are very kid-driven. They're very school-oriented. They're very community-oriented. So they were truly acting in the best interest of their community, and I have to respect each and every one of those opinions. Even if some of them disagreed some with me.
No, I think that's how you move forward. That's what our legislature is supposed to do. That's what our Congress is supposed to do. That's what our House of Representatives is supposed to do. That's how government works. So what you guys are doing is a small scale government, and that's why you all do the Robert's Rules of Orders, right? It's kind of a government kind of thing. And again, I think that's in a small setting. This is what we would like our elected officials to do: have these discussions and come to a best interest for all. That's what needs to happen, you know, even politically.
It does, and we have had lots of disagreements. I'd be misleading and wouldn't be forthright. I mean, there's been a lot of disagreements about the path we've taken with the High School Athletic Association on both sides of the fence. You know, and I think we all have learned something from it. But the key thing is we're trying to move forward. We're trying to give our kids an opportunity to play, and we're trying to find a way to let that happen.
Yeah, I tell you what, let me step away for a break right here and come back more with you in just a moment here. Is that okay?
That'll be great. Thank you.
All right, hang with us. All right, be right back. We'll take a break here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we're joined by the president of the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Policy Board, Mr. Darrell Billings. We do have a couple other questions, I guess, coming from that first segment. One, you mentioned earlier maybe there was some issues with football. What are some of the issues you all are seeing right now?
Well, Dave, we've got a lot of – we've had some cancellations in our playoffs. We've had 10 or 11 schools cancel out of our playoffs.
Mm.
We've got a process in order that if they do cancel out, how that progression moves forward. And it's very detailed, so it's hard to explain on the radio. But we do have a progression. If a team does have to opt out of the playoffs, that we've got a way that we still keep teams in the playoffs and still continue to go forward. Again, you know, we've got some of the best school districts in Kentucky that are really making a concentrated effort to make it available to where our kids can continue to play and play in a safe fashion. And it's been real eye-opening just how good some of our administrations have been by being able to allow us to do that.
Well, I know the first week, I know Powell County was one of the teams that dropped the first week. In this district, I guess we had two teams, Mason County and Powell County, both drop out, right? And then Fleming and Pendleton would have played this Friday. So I guess you saw a little bit of that last week. So there's probably more of that this week than there was last week?
There's actually a little less this week than there were. I think most of them were in first-round games. We've not seen as much of it in second-round games. And going forward in district play, we've not seen a lot of it. But again, like I was saying, our schools have done a great job in containing it. I'm amazed that when you look at across the country, of all the corona cases that have been reported across the country, and this was a study done by the University of Wisconsin last week prior to our KHWSA board meeting, less than 1% of the cases that were tested in Wisconsin came from a sports-related event. So that's a pretty impressive number when you think about it from a school administration standpoint, from a high school athletic association standpoint, or from a parental standpoint, that literally of all the corona cases being reported, less than 1% are coming from an athletic event.
So
it just tells you what a great job that's being done and the guidance has been provided by the High School Athletic Association and our superintendents as far as taking care of the virus.
So when we go from outdoor sports, for I guess generally speaking, to indoor sports where there is more of a concern for the COVID spread, again, if you're a Powell County High School, I think the capacity here is 3,500, I believe. Does that sound right to you?
I think that's right.
So
that sounds right to me.
If you had, if you had 15% at the high school, you're talking around, I'm just throwing this number out there, at least almost 400 plus that you could have at a regular game. I was talking to athletic director Doug Brewer, and I mentioned this before, if it's a regular game, we're probably only at our 15-20% number on a regular game.
Well, you figure 3,500 people, David. You're gonna allow 525 people in the gymnasium.
Higher than what I thought.
With the gym that seats 3,500. So 525 people. In most cases, unless it's a huge rivalry game that we hope those are going to be more in January, February.
Yes.
When we play some of our district seating games, that's going to cover most of our districts. The ones that are probably going to get hurt are probably going to be some of the smaller facilities that only seat 1,000, 1,500 people.
Agreed.
Our good friends at Buckhorn come to mind. Some of those smaller gymnasiums, those may be somewhat taxed a little bit to make sure their parents get to participate and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, I think it's something we can live with. And again, kudos off to our school districts, man. They're just doing a great job in trying to handle all the things that are being thrown at them.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot going on. I know you're talking, football, the playoffs, I think, are set for the 18th, I believe, of December.
The championships are the 18th
yeah.
of December, that's correct.
So that's and I listened to the commissioner talk the other day with the policy board, and there's strict dates you got to follow because the venues have to be open before you can schedule your event there. So you can't really move them around too much. There's not a lot of flexibility, but then it came up, I think, later on that there's a possibility that the week our playoffs were scheduled, there could be a makeup game if we have a COVID cancellation, right?
We've got some protocols in place that will give us, I don't want to say some protection is not the right word, but gives us a little wiggle room.
Right.
That if we had a situation that just dictated that, we got to the finals before we were going to Kroger Field and we just had to make some kind of a decision. We think we've got a plan in place that will allow us to continue with our football playoffs. I think we're going to get our football playoffs through. We say we're a basketball state, but I'm telling you, come to a high school football championship and see what kind of state we are. We honor every kid that participates, and it's pretty amazing to see the job that we do with high school football in Kentucky.
No, I totally agree with that. I think Powell County we're a little behind because we started football later than a lot of other folks did. So we haven't got the tradition here that other schools have with football. But when you have a football traditional school in the state of Kentucky, most of those schools are football first schools, then everything else follows in line. Where you have some schools that are basketball first schools, and I always argue that I think we're a baseball school first. So who knows who's right here. I think it's just kind of a preference thing.
You know, the one thing about it, and this is probably sounds a little, you know, maybe just this sounds a little corny, we're a kids' school.
Well, that's true.
We've done a great job taking care of our student athletes, especially in Powell County. And I'm telling you, I've probably been in my tenure as chairman of the KCLSA board, I've been in probably 75 or 80 schools. And it's absolutely amazing. I mean, if we done that kind of stuff in most of our local businesses, we wouldn't have a COVID problem. So it's pretty impressive to see what our school district has done and try to make it, in a way that we can let our kids participate. And I think ultimately when it's all said and done, throw championships out the window, throw trophies out the window. It's about keeping kids active until they become old enough to make their own decisions.
No, I applaud what you guys are doing. You know, I know in the spring we lost, you know, softball, track, baseball. But we totally understood those measures early on because we didn't know what was going on with COVID. You know, now that we know a little bit more and the cases are a whole lot worse, our perspective is a little bit different. So we've kind of had a change in mindset a little bit on what's going on. So, again, in appearances, it looks worse now than it was in the spring. But then our mindset in the spring was it was more dangerous than what it is maybe now. I know we have a lot of deaths, and I'm not trying to diminish that. But we thought this was going to be a whole lot worse than actually what it has been, if that makes sense.
Well, David, one of the things we were very adamant about in our border control meeting was we were not going to jeopardize spring sports again. We had already saw those kids take it on the chin. And we'd made our mind up that we were not going to jeopardize spring sports again. So we've tried to adjust everything around spring sports to make sure that they're not canceled again. They had the ultimate loss, and that was the loss of their entire season. And we're really going to try to make an effort that doesn't happen this year.
Now, I sent you a text message during the policy board meeting. You were pushing, you know, for the playoffs to stay or the basketball state championship to stay the same because you didn't want to affect, you know, the spring sports. And I sent you that text to say, keep on plugging, man, because you're. But I mean, I thought the entire board, the commissioner, I thought everybody that mentioned that, you know, we want to protect these spring athletes and not really affect their sport. You're all to be applauded for us spring coaches for sure, and the spring athletes for what you guys have kind of done. But I do see, you know, I guess this was the decision. This is going to be in meetings later going forward. You will have a discussion on when the basketball state tournament will be, maybe move back a week or two, which may push us back a week or two. But again, I know there was discussion about moving it into June. We're already in June. So it's not like a change for us, you know?
There was a lot of discussion and a lot of concern about schools trying to maintain a connection with a student athlete that was a senior,
right,
that graduated in late May, early June, and was still trying to compete in that sport in late June. You know, we would have to have some legislative approvals on it because most school districts, June 30th is their fiscal year.
Right.
How you would carry some of that stuff forward might be an issue. You know, eligibility issues. What if a kid, you know, that was going to be eligible that, you know, may age out, or a kid, if he was a top-tier kid, you know, he needed to be on his way to his summer AAU team or his summer travel team. I use this in our KCLSA board meeting. I would hate to think that I was a Division I shortstop with the ability to play at a Division I school and then was the seventh man on our basketball team who was playing in the regional finals and I had to make a decision.
Yes.
I don't think we need to put 17, 18-year-old kids in that situation where they have to make those decisions. I think those are things we're supposed to protect them from and to make sure that doesn't have to happen. We don't have to make kids make those decisions.
When we look back at our best athletes, they're the best baseball players or the best basketball players. If they play football, they're the best of the football players. So your best athletes are truly your best athletes, and if they're playing multiple sports, those decisions are going to be made. I know a couple of the members of the board were mentioning playing into May with a state tournament. I'm thinking, oh, you're killing spring sports, man. You're making these kids make those decisions where, you know, you're playing. I understand the revenue for the basketball state tournament, but it's more about the high school kids and their seasons to get in. I mean, even we've talked about this with, I guess, the soccer teams. You at least got your season in, and your district tournament with no fans. You at least got to play your district game. You know, those are the things. And the kids, I think they're grateful, but sometimes how soon we forget what other kids had to go through, you know?
That's true. And I think all in all, I think we're going to see some progression of some quality things happen over the next 2 to 3 weeks, whether it's with a vaccination or whether it's with maybe a controlled spread. I think we're going to see some positive things happen. But again, I think the key to anything, whether you're in business or whether you're in high school sports or whether you're in the radio business, you've got to continue to attempt to move forward. The lay down and die theory just doesn't apply to me, and thank God it doesn't apply to the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Board of Control. We want to find a way to continue to provide that opportunity, and I think we've been very lucky. It's not been easy. I'll be honest with you. I think I looked before our last board meeting. I had over 700 emails and phone calls in the past 120 days regarding spring, fall, and winter sports.
Yeah.
So it's not been an easy undertaking, and it's been one that's been pretty taxing. And ultimately, when you sit down at night and look yourself in the mirror, and you got to say, am I doing what's best for the 84,000 student athletes that play in Kentucky? Whether they're the ninth man on the basketball team, or they're the kid that only pinch runs once or twice a year in a varsity baseball game. We've got to continue to provide those kids opportunities in the safest environment we can possibly do it.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of this stuff I know too, and I hate to lessen this, but you know, if folks would follow some of the protocols, they'd wear their mask, they'd distance as much as they can, and follow some of those CDC protocols, we wouldn't have some of these issues we're having. You know, it's a simple, not a simple fix, but it's a simple way to a fix. You know, if people do what they're supposed to do in public, then you know, we lessen our cases, we get more participation, we get more games in. It's just a kind of like a domino. It's just working backwards. If people aren't going to follow the protocols, we're going to have trouble having games.
And that'll continue to be the case. We're a country of freedom.
Yep.
And it's got people that like their freedoms and like certain freedoms. And it's hard to negate those freedoms, but at the same time, with every freedom comes a consequence.
Yep.
Or with every freedom comes an action. And that old theory, if every action comes a reaction. So it is something that we're going to have to continue to work on every day. I think we're going to be okay. I think, is it going to be perfect? No, I doubt it. But if it's something we can truly make an effort on and try to move forward, I think we're going to be able to do that, David, when it comes to high school sports and even education. I think even going forward with education, there's been a lot of talk about extending eligibility for seniors that may have lost part of their seasons or whatever. You know, that those are questions that are well beyond one board of control member's decision. I mean, those are decisions that legislatures are going to have to get involved in, parents are going to have to get involved in, school districts are going to have to get involved in. But there's a lot of things I think going to come to light over the next 60 days. But they're things that all are trying to be in the best interest of our student athlete, and I think we'll come out on top. I think we'll end up finding a good, honest decision on how we can move forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, the next meeting I think is what, December 18th or something like that?
We've got a meeting on the 18th. That is correct.
Okay, so we'll try to stay posted on what you guys are doing. And again, we thank you guys for putting the time in. I don't think you're all going in just blind and just doing this. I know you know. Commissioner's giving you all an agenda to work from. He gives you kind of a work package together, and you guys make the decisions of what you want and how to move forward. So thank you guys for what you do, and I'll let you get off here and get ready for a big day tomorrow, right?
Well, I probably ought to be careful what I say, but we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving at the Billings house, and we'll do it in a way that
that's safe, but yet at the same time, we'll make sure we keep everyone fed and entertained that want to come to my house and enjoy Thanksgiving as we have in the past.
You got a big farm, man. You can handle it.
Well, I'm glad to be on here anytime, and I know we've got a lot of folks that listen to your show that have questions. Feel free to contact me. I'll be glad to get you an answer. If you've got a suggestion, we're not all exclusive. We'll take any piece of advice, any suggestion that may or may not become available. So if there's someone out there that has a question regarding the High School Athletic Association or continued sports, love to hear from you. I mean, feel free to contact me via by phone or by email. I'll make sure that I get back to you. It may not be instantaneous, but it will get back to you. And if I don't know the answer, I've got 18 other Board of Control members and a staff at the High School Athletic Association that's second to none that we can get you a correct answer and at least some guidance to go forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, we appreciate all the work you guys do. I'll let you get off here and get ready for that big day tomorrow. And you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And thanks again for being a good friend. So we do appreciate you, buddy.
No problem. We certainly appreciate you guys. Ken, did I get the questions you needed answered or that was able to get everything you were looking for?
Listen, Daryl, Dave as well as anybody probably. You can't get a word in edgewise with him.
Well, if anyone has questions, feel free to let us know. We want to try to do what's best for not only Powell County and the areas that we represent, but as you know, I'm a Kentucky Department of Education appointee to that board, so I represent the entire state of Kentucky. I just happen to live in the greatest place in the world. I told a guy yesterday from Somerville, Kentucky, I said, if and when you go to heaven, you will come up that mountain parkway to get there.
not a bad way to look at it.
I'm pretty partial to our part of the world and want to do what's best for the districts and the regions that we represent in eastern Kentucky. So if there's anybody that hears this call and has a question, I would invite that they call me, and I'll try my best to get you a correct answer. If I don't have it, I'll make sure that I get it somewhere.
Now, we're greatly appreciated. It's going to be on the webpage. You can listen to this show anytime you all want to, so you can always plug in and listen again. But, again, thank you very much, and we'll contact you again, Daryl.
All right, thanks. Call anytime.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular Steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. I knew it was coming back. I just thought about taking another break back-to-back, but we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what we talked about with Daryl. Again, you heard there, the decisions are made as far as the dates, but they're not in concrete. I think at this point now there's a lot of decisions to be made within the local communities. You know, I think if you're red, we've talked about this, I don't know how many times this year, if you're red, some schools are playing. And right now, I think you said there's, what,
112 to 114
red counties.
Right, yeah.
So
six to eight that are not.
If you look at the recommendation, it's not to play. But people are going forward with what kind of Darryl was talking about, and they're going to continue to play. That's up to each individual district, and they'll have their, you know, if something happens, then, you know, they're answering for themselves because they made the decision to go ahead. All the KHSA really does is set forth the dates. You guys have the choices and the options. This is how it's going to be. You know, they're not forcing anybody to play. You know, it's just you're allowed to go play. And the state hasn't said nobody can play. It's just a recommendation. So, again, all anybody can do is have recommendations. And, you know, the health department is really overworked. I mean, you feel sorry for those folks. They can't, at this point in Powell County, they can't keep up with the contact tracing.
No, you're right. I think one of the things, too, as far as, you know, Darryl and the policy board, I honestly think from the beginning, to me, I have nothing but respect for the group because I think that they've had to make tough decisions, sometimes things they didn't necessarily want to make, right? But ultimately, it goes back to they're trying to protect the student athletes. And therefore, by delaying the start of seasons, canceling seasons, moving dates back, etc., I think that in their mind, and I would agree with them, I think it's the best decisions to make at that time. Now, we can obviously go back and be like, oh, well, in hindsight, this shouldn't have happened or this should have happened. Spring sports, yeah. Right? Okay, maybe spring sports, you know, they cut it off maybe too soon because things weren't necessarily as bad then as they are now, and now football is continuing on, etc. But at the time, based on the information that they had, they made the right decision. I still think they're making the right decisions. And again, yeah. those meetings are you know, where the public can view and watch them on YouTube, you know, where you can kind of sit in and listen. And we've both had an opportunity to even listen to those. But I think that the fact that they have that communication, we can agree to disagree. I see it this way. You see it that way. Let's see if we can't compromise. But I think ultimately they've done the right thing by these kids. I think they're going to continue to make those decisions going forward. And obviously, I think they've learned a lot when you go back from, you know, to spring sports when things were, well, even basketball for that matter, you know, Sweet 16 being canceled. I think at that point, when all of a sudden you're making those decisions, now you've learned a lot, but at the same time, this virus is so up and down and all over the place in a sense that it's hard to get any, I don't say stability, but you're constantly having to move with it, right? And yeah, as far as the decisions that you're making, you have to be fluid.
That's why I was going to say you have to stay fluid because this thing is always on the move. You've got to kind of stay with it. And, again, they are making the best decisions they can. And, they're fighting for a group of folks. They're fighting for the group of folks that are athletes in the state of Kentucky. Is it always different than the schools? No, they have to work together. But as we know, sometimes people think that, and I may be one of these people sometimes, sports is more important than school. It's just kind of where you place it. You know, people are saying, how can you continue to play football while schools are canceled? Well, Darryl just kind of told you they're having very few, if any, concerns coming out of the data of people going to outdoor events. They're having very few cases coming from that. And people say the same thing about Governor Beshear. How can you allow a basketball game at Rupp Arena if you have this many cases? Because they're limited. They're going to make sure people are wearing masks, make sure people aren't close together. They're going to make these things happen. And if they find out that they're spread, guess what's going to be next? Then they will either limit again or shut down fans. I mean, we've already seen folks do that. Duke University, we said this last week, have already canceled for in-person games at home. So when you go to the Cameron Crazies, you're not playing Duke with fans. You're playing Duke with no fans. That has to be a different setting for these kids. When you go to Rupp Arena and you're playing for 23,000, normally you're only going to be playing in front of, you know, 3,000 folks. It's a different look. It is totally a different look. So we'll see how it goes going forward. Again, they will make adjustments on the fly. just like the state will make adjustments on the fly to what we're doing here with COVID. Got to get the numbers under control. That's just pretty simple. But again, we're going to take another break, come back with some final words here on WSKV and PCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back here again. The last segment here of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, I want to thank again Darrell Billings, our guest tonight, and gave some good information. Also, let you know that if you want to ask him a question, give him a call. You can do that if you've got his cell phone number, I think, or you could always visit him at the dealership and he'll try to sell your car, but that's fine. He will take your questions and use those or get you answers if you have any. So there's a lot of interesting discussions going on. They mentioned it during the meeting last time, officials, they have a shortage. You know, if anybody out there wants to get their officials license, it's probably a good time to do that. These guys actually get paid fairly well to go officiate a ball game. Yet a lot of our officials are older and they're kind of opting out of this season. That being said, there is a shortage and that is an issue. So there are all kinds of issues within the issues. You know, we can play the games. Now we've got to staff them. Now we've got to have officials. Now we got to have, and everything has to fall in place before a game takes on. And that's, you know, to the local districts and the assigning secretaries, make sure they got people to work.
Well, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier when we first started. As far as the school system, Powell County was closed, had to shut down because there weren't enough subs, people to cover the staff members who were out for whatever reason. And therefore, when you don't have enough staff, officials, therefore potentially games could be canceled, right? Because you don't have enough officials to go around. It definitely is a great opportunity. Again, you make pretty decent money to be able to do something, especially if you enjoy the sports or whatever else. So definitely look into that.
It's pretty simple. Just get on the website, take a look at what you have to do, and it's pretty easy. You got to take a test, go to a couple of meetings, and boom, you're licensed. So it may not be as easy as I just said it, but again, it's available for you guys, that for any official, whether it be any sport. You know, baseball, softball, always looking. And we were looking for officials before we had COVID. So
true.
This is not like it's a one-time thing. There is a shortage of officials out there. So, again, if you're interested in something like that, it's a great opportunity to make a little money. I know Greg and I used to do it in baseball and when we were in college. So we always had a lot of fun going to do games, especially if we were together. You know, it was trouble sometimes, but you know, we had fun. I think Darrell even officiated some games with us back then. So, you know, we are a little bit older. That's okay. Darrell's getting older. I can't tell you how old he is because he's about 6 months younger than me. But anyway, would like to wish everybody out there a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yes, definitely. Safe travels for anybody that actually is traveling. And again, if you're having people come to your house or you're going to someone else's house, wear those masks. Try and stay distant as much as you can. Wash your hands and sanitize and enjoy yourself.
And maybe don't stay as long as you normally would. But, you know, if you're masked up, then you're kind of doing what you're supposed to do. But, again, it is sad what we have to do. But, again, I think if we all kind of give in a little bit and work toward getting better, then we don't see that big outbreak that you and I think may be coming after this holiday. But again, we're going to be back to back. We're going to have one right into another big holiday with Christmas, and you've got the same issues. But I think people have a harder time staying away from family during Christmas than they are Thanksgiving.
I would agree with that. You're exactly right.
So we shall see where it comes out in the future. But again, thanks for listening to us, and again, have a happy and safe holidays this week, and we'll see you back here next week here on BCSN Live.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Pickup Country.